Welcome to the campfire. It's a beautiful night to be out. Summer is in bloom, so I thought we could share a few s'mores and tell stories. Why don't I go first? Let's see. How about I tell you some stories of individuals who, in their respective time and place, were deemed criminals? Our first is a tale so wild, it could have been born from the flames themselves. It was March 1944, in the skies over Germany. Nicholas Alkemade, a 21-year-old RAF tail gunner, flew his last mission. Or so he thought. His bomber was torn apart by German fire, and flames licked the fuselage. His parachute? Gone. Burned to cinders. Faced with a choice between burning alive or jumping to his death, Nicholas made the impossible choice. He leapt 18,000 feet. But fate wasn't finished with him yet. He plummeted through pine trees, slowed by their branches, and landed in a deep snowbank. When he came to, he had a twisted knee, a few scratches, and his life. The Germans who found him were so stunned by his story, they confirmed it with the wreckage. No parachute, no lies. Nicholas spent the rest of the war as a POW, and his tale became legend. Sometimes, the impossible becomes real, and when it does, it leaves behind a whisper in the wind and a fire in the sky. All right, how about another one? Gather close, flames flickering bright, for this is the eerie tale of Helen Duncan, the last woman in Britain ever jailed as a witch. It was the 1940s in wartime Britain. Helen Duncan, a plump Scottish mother of six, claimed to be a medium, one who could speak with the dead. In seance halls thick with candle smoke, she'd summon voices from the beyond, deliver messages from lost sons, and soothe grieving hearts. Some believed, others scoffed. But one night in 1941, she said something no one should have known. HMS Barham, a British battleship, had sunk before the government announced it. Panic stirred. How did she know? Was she a spy or something darker? Authorities, fearing her seances could reveal military secrets, dusted off an old law. The Witchcraft Act of 1736. Yes, witchcraft. And in 1944, in the middle of modern war, Helen Duncan was tried in court like a medieval sorceress. They didn't burn her at the stake, but they did lock her up for 9 months. Her case sparked outrage. Soon after, the ancient Witchcraft Act was repealed forever. Helen's name became legend, the last witch punished under law born of fear. Sometimes fear hides behind law, and truth walks strange roads. But when we question with courage and listen with empathy, even the darkest tales can light the way forward. All right, one more story for you. This next true tale shows when legality overrides morality. A tale carved deep in California's past, darker than any shadow this fire throws. In 1851, in the gold rush town of Downeyville, lived a Mexican woman named Josefa Zegovia. Smart, proud, and educated, she lived with her partner, a man named Jose, in a town that barely tolerated their kind. After all, the gold rush had brought more than fortune, it brought resentment. Mexicans, once the heart of the region, were suddenly outsiders, their rights stripped, their land stolen, their lives expendable. That 4th of July, the town was drunk on whiskey and patriotism. An American miner, Frederick Cannon, forced his way into Josefa's home in the early morning. What exactly happened isn't clear. Some say he tried to assault her. Others say he insulted her and her people. What is known, though, is that Josefa stabbed him, and he died. The town erupted in rage. There was no real trial, no defense. In less than 24 hours, a drunken mob called her guilty. They built a gallows on the bridge, and with no judge, no jury of her peers, they hanged her, the first and only woman ever lynched by a town's vote in California. Witnesses say she walked to the noose with dignity, refused to beg, and died with her head held high. Now here's the bitter truth. What they call justice was just revenge, steeped in fear and racism. Josefa acted in defense, or at least in desperation. But back then, legality didn't mean fairness. The law served the loudest voices, and they weren't speaking Spanish. So, why tell a story like this around the fire? Because her ghost still lingers, not in spirit, but in story. A reminder that what's legal isn't always right. That sometimes the ones called guilty are the only ones standing up for themselves. Josefa didn't die because she was wrong. She died because she wasn't white. Because a few decided to stand with the oppressor and not the oppressed. When you hear the wind whistle through the trees, remember Josefa Zegovia and all the others who have been othered and scapegoated. Someone like Anne Frank, whose crime was being Jewish in 1945 Nazi-occupied Germany. Martin Luther King Jr., whose crime was sitting and walking in places and saying that people need equal rights. Even Jesus Christ, whose crime was blaspheming God, giving false testimony, and treason against the empire. Legality over morality. At the Nuremberg trials, the Nazi soldiers who were on trial all said the same thing. They weren't bad people, they were just following the law. Do you know what the court said? Moral responsibility overrides legal obedience. Morality over legality. From historical acts of civil disobedience to everyday ethical dilemmas, conscience over law is necessary. It will lead to true justice. That's all the stories I've got for this campfire. So, until next time, stay curious, keep an open mind, and celebrate the traditions that bring us all together.